Come on, everybody, get up on your feet and give the entire production team a great big thank you. Amen. 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 You could be seated in the presence of the Lord. The Bible is very clear in the Gospels. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all record the story of the resurrection. We're here on Easter morning to celebrate the resurrected Savior. The Bible says very early on the first day of the week, Mary and her sister Mary went to the tomb. They went to the tomb to look for Jesus. They went to anoint his body. They weren't looking for a resurrection. They came with spices to anoint his body. That was the furthest thing from their mind, but when to their shock and to their surprise and utter confusion, when they got to the tomb, the seal was broken, the stone was rolled away, and the tomb was empty. What happened? No one knows. No one knows. No one would say for sure, but two angels stood beside them and uttered the two most powerful sentences in the entire Bible. It's found in Luke chapter 24, verses 5 and 6. The Bible records that the angels said to Mary and Mary, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen." The reason that I believe in the resurrection of the dead is that I believe in the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday morning. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus." This tells us that the grave cannot hold us. There ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. You see, the grave is just a temporary residence. There's good news from the graveyard today. The good news is that the tomb is empty. The good news is that Jesus rose from the dead. The good news is the devil could not hold him. The grave couldn't stop him. The grave has lost its victory. Listen, the good news is we don't need to fear death anymore. As far as I know, I'm not afraid to die. And it's not because I'm all that. And it's not because I've already done that. Some of you might not know, but several years ago, my wife and I were jogging, and my heart went to V-fib, and I dropped dead, and I was dead for nearly 15 minutes. But I'm not convinced or not afraid of death because of that experience. I'm not really that brave, and I'm not really that courageous. In fact, if there's some kind of noise at our house at night, I'll look over at my wife and say, "Go see what that is. You hear that? Go check that out. Go see what that is." I'm not all that brave, but I'm not afraid to die because I know what's on the other side. I know who holds my future. He tells us in his word that we don't have anything to worry about, that the grave is not final. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "As it is appointed to men once to die, after this, the judgment." And in verse 28, it says, "So Christ offered up once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." Jesus is coming again, church. He's coming again. He rose from that dead to give us the blessed assurance that we have a hope in Jesus Christ. One day, everybody in this room is gonna die. It's appointed to every man once to die. And when that day happens for me, and it's gonna happen, when that day happens for me, I don't know what Bobby will do, if she'll bury me in the ground or if she'll cremate me and sprinkle my ashes somewhere. I don't know what will happen, but I want somebody to make a sign that says temporary residence. I want somebody to make up a sign that says the grave can't hold him. It is not a final event in our lives. Jesus said, "I'm coming back and you can count on it." I say without the sense of any boasting or pride, my resurrection doesn't depend upon me. My resurrection doesn't depend upon my ability to be a good husband or a good father or a good grandfather. My ability for the resurrection depends wholly upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. He promised that if I would trust in him, someday I too would rise from the grave and have eternal life with him in heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. I've staked my whole life on that, Mama. I've lived my whole life with that purpose. I'm living today with that purpose in mind. And you know what? It's the only hope that I have. My hope isn't that you'll come to church next week. My hope isn't that I'm going to be able to do something amazing this week or that something great's going to happen in my life. My hope is in a risen Savior, that Jesus gave his life, died on a cross, and that while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. My hope is in a risen Savior. It's not in my ability. My righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. As good as we can be and all the good that we can do, it's nothing. It is filthy rags in the eyes of God. But he said, for this reason, the Son of God has come to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to give us hope. He came to give us life. He came to give us an experience with him that is deeper than a religious experience. It's not a church experience. We've gotten so messed up in our thinking to where we just think if we believe in Jesus, that's enough. And we've created that in churches that just believe in Jesus, come to church every now and then, give some money and be generous in your giving, and then, oh, everything's going to be good. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not the answer. The answer is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Is he the first thing on your mind when you wake up in the morning? Is he the last thing on your heart when you go to sleep at night? Are you living with a purpose that is greater than yourself? Have you developed a relationship with him that has divine destiny attached to it? See, I'm not here to achieve my own goals. I'm not here to accomplish my own dreams. The dream that I want to live is the dream that God has for me. He says in Jeremiah, he said, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. It's plans of a hope and a future. And what God is desiring from you and I is not anything other than a personal relationship. He wants to be your best friend. He wants you to know him in an intimate way. Our life is filled with battles. It's filled with struggles. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy will be destroyed is death. Death is the last enemy that will be destroyed. Death will not have the final word. The world thinks that we're living in the land of the living and moving to the land of the dying. Everybody's dying, so we're moving to the land of the dying. But that is a wrong thinking. It's a wrong mentality. We are not living in the land of the dying, we're not living in the land of the living, moving to the dying. We are living in the land of the dying, and we're moving to the living. We have a risen Savior. There will be victory in the last battle. Life is a series of battles for all of us. And in the last battle, the struggle with death, there is victory for the children of God. There's good news from the graveyard. There's good news from the graveyard. That's what Easter is all about. And if you're looking for Jesus on this Easter Sunday morning, I want you to know, don't look to the graveyard. He's not there. And he hasn't been there since he rose from the dead. He is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. He left the graveyard 2,000 years ago and he never went back. That's really good news for you and I. I want to introduce somebody to him today. I want to introduce you to somebody that loves you in the middle of your struggle. Sometimes we think, I just got to get everything right, and if I can get everything right, then God's going to meet me right there. Listen to me, you will never get it right without Jesus. You will constantly live in a state of unforgiveness and bitterness for the things that have happened in your life. If you're not careful, you'll have your own little grave. You'll have your own little addiction. You'll be bound by the things of this world, and you will not realize that the stone is rolled away, and you can step out of that grave. So many people, man, have just been got so caught up in the rat race of life and trying to get through life and trying to accomplish all these things when it is not in your ability, it's in his ability. It's when you and I totally surrender. And just like Jesus at the garden tomb, when he said, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Just like Jesus at the rock of agony when he cried out, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. When you and I come to that place of surrender to God, it is when we can walk and live in total victory. I wonder, do you know him? I wonder if you're still bound in a tomb. I love what Pastor Tim was talking about in that song, that the grave could be a whole lot of different things. There's so many things that hold us captive. There are so many things that try to hold us and limit us from what God wants to do in our lives. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are many people in this room that have unanswered questions. Like you can't understand why something happened in your life. Why did God allow this to happen? And why have you gone through all of this stuff? Why is all this pain still in your life? And I'm here to tell you, it may never get answered for you on this earth, but there is a hope in heaven that says, I know every answer to every problem, and I will meet your need according to my riches in Christ Jesus. He knows what you need. And for some of you, it's just, you know, Easter service. You wanted to try it. Maybe you found us online and you just came to visit. I'm so glad that you're here. But I want you to know something. You may think it was your choice, but I want you to know God divinely appointed you to be here today. God wanted you to see this little production. God wanted you to hear that spoken word. God wanted you to hear that song. There ain't no grave gonna hold your body down. There's no addiction that's too strong for God. There's no lie of the enemy that cannot be perpetrated with the truth of God's love. God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. I love that song about the altar. Oh, come to the altar. Come run into the altar. What is that song, Elevations? You don't have to sing it. I just love that. I was telling my sister who's here with us today, I said, this time when we're doing the elder prayer and everybody's up here praying, I said, this is what makes us different. This is what makes this church different, because we still teach and preach that there's power in prayer. We still believe that God can touch your life and bring healing to your life. That God can restore you. Alcohol doesn't have to have the stronghold over your life. Drugs do not have to have the stronghold over your life. Addiction, sexual addiction, does not have to pervert your mind. You can be free. Unforgiveness is a bitterness. It's a root. It's a stronghold. It's a pain that needs to be driven out of your life. Is he the first thing on your mind in the morning? Is it the last thing on your heart before you put your head on your pillow, Randy? Is it, oh God, thank you for a good day. Thank you for walking with me today. Thank you for showing me today that you love me. Thank you for providing for my family. Thank you, Lord, that my children are all asleep in their bed tonight. I mean, that's the kind of relationship God's looking for with his kids. He's not looking for a Sunday church experience where you show up and you praise God and sing and hear a message and just leave. He's looking to change the way that you do life. Everybody, if you would, stand up on your feet with me, please. I want to introduce you to the Savior of the world. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He is called the Son of God. He loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die on a cross for you. He was buried in Joseph's tomb, and on the third day he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. He paid the price for your sins so that if you believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. You can have eternal life. You can know that your sins are forgiven. You can have victory on the last battlefield. This morning in the first service, my brother's son was in church with us sitting on the front row. And at the end of the service, during the altar call like this, Ken, I just went over and I said, Sheldon, it's time to quit running from God. And big tears begin to, he's big, man. He's a big boy like his daddy. He's a big boy. Big tears began to stream down his face. And I said, won't you come up and pray with me? Let's give your life to Jesus today. And my nephew walked down to the front here and gave his hands, big old burly hands. He just held on to me and cried like a baby as God began to deal with his heart. Can I tell you that your Heavenly Father wants to come to you today. He wants to embrace you in your life, in your situations, and he wants to bring you into a personal relationship with him. It's not joining a church. It's not just coming to a service. It's about you and I living in a relationship with Jesus Christ to where he is Lord of all. Because I got news for you. If he's not Lord at all, of all, he's not Lord at all. And the game that we play where Jesus is Lord on Sundays and then we live our life the way we want to all week long, that game is going to end in disaster. Because one day you're going to stand before the Lord. Everybody will stand before God. You will stand there by yourself, and he's either going to say to you, enter in good and faithful, or depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Jesus loves you. Everybody just bow your heads to the Lord right now in prayer. Come on, we just got a few more minutes, but I want to pray that God will touch somebody's heart today. I want to pray that God will touch somebody's life today. Just in reverence to the Holy Spirit of God that is filling this room right now. Just close your eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to minister.